All right, so the last two times we did this, we did a whole bunch of scriptures and we read through things. And the last time I took a long time, so the Bible's a long book. But this time it's going to be more of like a teaching, right? But there's a lot of scripture references. So could I have Allison's help again and Alex? And pass these out. Taylor, you got it. Can you get this side? All right, so these are some of the references, right? So the last two times we talked about Hebrews 10, the last part of Hebrews 10, Hebrews is like a, you know, overview, talks about the coming of Jesus. And so who better to learn from the coming of Jesus than Jesus himself? So he talked about when he's coming back in Matthew 24 and 25. So the coming of Jesus is obviously the topic of the book of Revelation too, right? And so Dan's going to speak on Revelation starting November 1st, and we would like everybody to read through it together as a congregation. But he'll talk more about that when we get closer in November. But one of the common misconceptions about the end of the age, or the return of Jesus, is that it's impossible to understand. It's too confusing. There's too many stuff in there about dragons and like, and all this stuff, and like, you know, but the thing is that Jesus spoke and taught mostly illiterate people, mostly people who had no education, right? And the book of Revelation was written by a guy who couldn't write Greek very well, John, right? And so like the pictures and the story of the end times is really supposed to be simple to understand if we just take it at its word. Right, so a lot of times, like we go to the academics and like they kind of like confuse it, and they I shouldn't say it's simple to understand, but there's a lot of God's word explains itself, right? And so today we just kind of want to read through what Jesus said, right? And then with some thoughts on that. Is there anybody who would like to read Matthew 24 and 25 like we did Ephesians 1 through 6? All right, could you read one chapter? Anybody else who wants to read one chapter? Tim, can you guys come up here? So actually we're going to start just before Matthew 24. So Matthew 24, 25 is part of Jesus' Olivet Discourse. It was the last thing, his last sermon to the disciples, right? So you find that also in Luke chapter 21. But it was the last thing he told them, right? And he comes right after Matthew 23. So Matthew 23 is when he condemns the leadership of the Jewish leadership. And this whole week when he's in Jerusalem, he's basically, you know, setting himself to get crucified. He's making everybody upset by telling them the truth, and as far as the leadership goes. But then anyway, goes into 23 and 24. We're going to start at 23 verse 37. Can you start us off, Tim? 23 verse 37. And then can you go to 24:31? And then can you start at 24:31 and go through 25?
Yeah.
All right. So
start at 37?
Yes.
All right. Verse 37, chapter 23. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Verse 24, destruction of the temple signs and the signs of the end times. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him. To call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on the other, and every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Lord, tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming that I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by the nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faithful and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take out anything of the house. Let no one in the field go back to their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So, if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. And immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs gather tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. And truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The day of the hour of unknown. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in the heavens, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it is in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days, before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding in with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief may be coming, he would have kept watch and he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful, wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants and of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away for a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come one day when he does not expect him, and at that hour he is not aware of his coming. And he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth.
The parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day of the hour." The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Hallelujah. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Okay, thank you for reading. So there's a lot of stuff here, right? You could preach many. We could sit here for weeks and do this. We don't have time for that. But like, we're just going to go over an overview of this. And what's the last verse we read, right? It says, then they'll go away to eternal punishment, righteous to eternal life. I guess one of the questions I want to ask ourselves is, like, how much did Jesus mean about this? Did he mean what he said, right? That's one question I kind of want to keep in mind here. Did he mean what he said? And if he meant what he said, what do we do about it? And like, so to help understand kind of what he's saying, I've broken it down into an outline. So credit to Dalton Thomas from FAI. FAI is one of the resources on your page there, but for this outline. But the outline is not really the point, right? The point is just helps us understand what he's saying in the sections. And then I want to cover a couple of verses and then kind of finish and on one of the parables, the 10 virgins. So the 10 virgins is just one of the responses, like, what do we do? What do our hearts look like knowing all this stuff about the end of the age? What does it matter to us? So you see in this section, we started in 23, basically Jesus is out with his disciples, right? And he makes a declaration. After telling the woes to the Pharisees, he says two things. He said this house will not, you know, the house will be desolate, the temple is going to fall down, the Jerusalem is being invaded. The disciples ask a question, when's this going to happen, what are the signs going to be? He gives them the signs, he answers their question, right? So we ask Jesus a question, he gives us the answer. Like we ask him a good question, he wants to talk to us. And last, he gives us parables. And what do we do with our hearts? What should our hearts, how should we prepare ourselves in this time? So there we go. That's the four sections. So the first section, right? The one section here that it says, there's a note here. So he's declaring the second temple will be destroyed and Jerusalem be invaded. And he says, I tell you, you will not see me again until the blessed, you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Put a picture of Palm Sunday up here. Palm Sunday had already happened, right? So he's in Jerusalem last week. So he's referring to the future. And this is kind of the setup here. It's like, so the disciples are like, wait, the temple's here. This is what God told us to do. But he's saying there's going to be more. He's referring back to Deuteronomy 28, where there's a curses and the blessings, right? And so the Jewish people had not followed Jesus with their whole heart, and so there's going to be curses. And the question. So Jesus asks, they ask him, tell us, when will this happen? What will be the signs you're coming in the ends of the age? And then the rest of 24 here, he gives them answers, right? The signs of the ends of the age, and then he gives them the parables. So what I want to consider here is Jesus said what he meant. Like, a lot of times we talk about the end times or Revelation, you're like, oh, it's like way out there, you know, it's like this, like all this stuff. But Jesus said what he meant. He wanted us to know this, because the disciples had the question, and he wanted us to do something with it, right? He wanted us to have that mentality. And look at throughout the whole New Testament, even like Philippians, like a really basic epistle, right? Like one of my favorite books in the Bible. But like Philippians is full of Paul saying, until his coming, when Jesus comes back. And like in Titus, it says, like, you know, he is our blessed hope. We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so like, I think Jesus wants us to think about this, because this is our hope, because his goal isn't just to destroy everything. His goal is to restore everything, right? So we have this world that's broken, but he wants it to be restored. But he also wants us to know that he's coming back at any, and he's coming back soon in his idea of soon. But because what's going to happen in the end times has been repeated over and over again many times. And so in types, like you have Pharaoh, you have Nebuchadnezzar, you have the king of Assyria, and you have various things happening around the world with wars and rumors of wars over and over again. And it's always, the answer is always a turn to Jesus. So I want to look at a few of the verses in detail. So it says, then you'll be handled, be persecuted, and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. And many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. And false prophets will appear and deceive many. So this is the warning, right? This is one of the warnings of him telling all what's going on. He's saying, like, there's going to be so much trouble that many will turn away from the faith and betray each other. And we see this nowadays, right? We see this nowadays. So I have a story about, like, Hawk Nelson, the lead singer Hawk Nelson, right? So, like, I don't know if Hawk Nelson is one of my favorite bands. I was listening to Hawk Nelson as I was writing these notes. So, but, like, you know, there used to be a DC Talk and Newsboys. They opened for Newsboys here, like, 4 years ago at the Tyson Event Center. A year or two ago, the lead singer Hawk Nelson said, I'm leaving the faith. And when they interviewed him, the Today Show and other shows interviewed him, and they said, why are you leaving the faith? And he says, well, when I talk to people who have suffered in life, then I can't give them an answer why Jesus would allow that. And then he also talks about, like, you know, the Christians, they don't believe in evolution. Instead, they believe in God created the world. And so, like, the offense is already there, right? So, like, the world is already pressuring us. It's always pressuring us every day, no matter what Christian and what century you read this. This is true. But it says he's warning us, like, in the Great Tribulation, it's going to be worse. So prepare your hearts. And also just as far as we're kind of looking at what the purpose is, but also, like, what he's saying, right? So it does say, many will fall away from the faith and betray each other, hate each other, and the false prophets will appear. So Paul quotes this a couple times in Thessalonians. He refers to Jesus, and he says, for that day will not come, the day of the Lord, until the rebellion occurs, right? The falling away, the great falling away. And the law of man of lawlessness is revealed, the false prophet. So We know that there's going to become a rebellion and many people will fall away before Jesus comes back. And then the Antichrist will be revealed. So Jesus keeps on going. He says, then you'll be handed over to the persecuted to death and be hated by all nations. We read that. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray each other, hate each other, and a false prophet will appear and deceive many people. But because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this is the hope, right? It says, like, many will fall away, increase of wickedness, people won't love each other, there'll be rampant, you know, hate around the world, but you got to stand firm. Goes into detail. So there's a references here, right? But as far as when is this going to happen, right? So this is why Jesus mentions the abomination that causes desolation. So as far as when the end times are going to happen, we know the abomination that causes desolation is some kind of idol or something. We don't really know. It doesn't explain. That's set up in the Jewish temple. So there has to be a Jewish temple for that to be set up. We do have a Jewish people now. And since 1967, we've had Jewish control of Jerusalem, which hasn't happened in 2,000 years. So we have these progression of signs coming, but we don't know when the temple's going to be built, and we don't exactly know what the abomination is going to be. But it sounds like it's going to be obvious, right? It's probably going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on NBC. But it's in the middle of the 3.5 years. And so Jesus is referencing Daniel. He's referencing Daniel 11, Daniel 8. If you look forward in the future, John talked more about in Revelation 12. So you guys can look this up. But this is like the beginning of the 3.5 years of tribulation. That's very clear in Daniel and Revelation. So this is what he's referring to, the Antichrist coming. So one question I started off saying, like, you know, people talk about the end times, like, it's so confusing. We can just leave it alone. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Just leave it alone. But God put it in there for a reason. Even Revelation, it says, blessed are you who study and read this prophecy. He wouldn't have said that if he wanted you to leave it alone and forget about it and, like, don't think about it. Jesus doesn't know what's going to happen. Jesus said we don't know it's a day and hour. But, like, one of the questions that comes from all this, Satan doesn't want us to learn this. But so one of the things that people say is that, you know, Daniel's prophecies were fulfilled in ancient history with the Seleucid Empire, Antiochus Epiphanes. But you'll see this all over the place when you read Daniel. But Jesus said it was in the future. So I'd rather rely on Jesus than a bunch of academics. Okay, so the day of the Lord. So he's talking about the day of the Lord. It happens one time in Scripture. It says the day of the Lord will be... it's a singular event throughout Scripture, be fulfillment of the hope and redemption of God's people. There's a whole bunch of references here. You guys can look them up. But I'll look up the one verse here, verse 15 of Thessalonians real quick. I'll read that. So Paul quotes Jesus in Thessalonians in verse 15, he says, according to the Lord's own word, I tell you that we who are still alive will be left, who are left to the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel, you know, a big angel, I don't know. So, and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then after that, we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be with the Lord forever. So there's an event when Jesus comes back, and that's when we go to meet him, right? And when he comes back, you can study it. I put an app on the list there, but he comes back and the whole world sees him. And Zechariah 12 through 14 says that the whole world sees him. And Israel and the nations mourn. And Jesus references this in Matthew 24. Look at Revelation 11, 12, 14. Talks about the last trumpet. Paul refers to the trumpet and the return of Jesus and what happens. And the angels are very happy and the crowd rejoices, right? All the righteous rejoice and Jesus comes back. So please look into this if you have time. When you have time, it's very interesting. But I'm going to keep on going. So I wanted to focus on the parable of 10 virgins to kind of finish this off. So Jesus gives The disciples asked the question, what's the sign when the temple's going to be destroyed? When is the kingdom going to really come, right? We know, like, right before Jesus went up to the clouds, the disciples are like, is now the time you're going to take over? Like, is now the time you're going to bring the kingdom of David? You're on David's throne. Is now the time you're going to come and like, make it all right, get rid of the Romans? And Jesus, like, it's not for you to know right now. He's like, go through all the nations, preaching the gospel. But so this is the anticipation, but they ask a really good question, right? They ask, one of the signs that you're going to return? And so he gives them all the signs. We just went over a few of the details there, but there's a whole much more, and there's a whole bunch of references. Jesus is quoting all this Old Testament prophecies. So it's not new stuff. He even says in here, let the reader understand. He's like, go read it. But then he gives these parables, right? Because he wants people's hearts to be ready for this. It's the great tribulation. It's the great falling away. It's the big one, right? In the end, it's the Antichrist. And it says he'll even deceive people. There'll be signs and wonders and miracles in the sky. They're going to be on YouTube. They're going to be on your phone. Like, when there's signs and wonders and miracles being happening in Jerusalem, it's not going to be something that happens in Jerusalem, right? We all know, we all have the news. We're going to see it. Right, and we're in a modern era. You're going to see everything, and so like people will be deceived if possible, but then the end will come, and it talks about that. But like so, the 10 virgins, like I mentioned, the leader of the Hawk Nelson, one of my favorite bands, like, some really good songs. But he was offended in his heart by Jesus and what and pain and suffering and like and what the world is saying about science. By the way, I'm a scientist. I'd love to talk about evolution afterward. But the 10 virgins, right? So we have 10 virgins, right? And 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. 5 had oil. And the part that really, really bothered me for a long time about this is they woke up. They all fall asleep. I don't know what that means. That's kind of scary. But anyway, they all fall asleep. They all wake up. And the foolish ones are just like, share some of your oil with us. And the wise are like, no, I'm not going to share my oil. And my first thought is like, Jesus, didn't you say we're supposed to share our stuff? You know, but Jesus didn't rebuke the wise virgins. He didn't rebuke the wise virgins. He's like, they were right. And like, in the story, like, they're not wrong to say no. So like, why could that be? So like, it's a parable, right? But like, I believe it means that the oil is something that couldn't be given away, right? They could not give away the oil. So, like, if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. And so by the time they come back and they find oil, the door is shut, and he says, I never knew you. And then you can reference all sorts of, you know, sayings of Jesus where he said, Lord, Lord, you know, some people say, Lord, Lord, but I don't never knew you. And then the other parable is, like, the door is shut, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like, it's a big deal, right? So if they don't know him, then if you don't know him now, if you don't fill yourself with oil and knowing him now, then you're going to be in trouble, right? So Jesus said I'll read Luke in a little bit here, but the point is we have to know him, right? And so when I read, I was looking at Hawk Nelson, and like, you know, it really bothered me that he left the faith because his songs are really good. And but he is... you know, he has diamonds, like, you're refining me like diamonds. He's like sold out and all this. But he's like, but then he, when he gives his testimony, he shares about how he grew up in the church and he did the worship thing because that's what people in the church did. His dad was a pastor. And he did like the seeking after Jesus thing and the praise because that's what people in the church did, right? But he's also said, like, I was always felt awkward when praising Jesus and shouting out loud the name of the Holy Spirit in a congregation. So like, there's these signs like that he didn't really, there's evidence, I don't know him, right? But I just read a couple of his testimonies that he gave, his anti-testimonies. And like, it sounded like he didn't like, you know, meet with Jesus in the quiet place. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like teaching him through the word himself. And like, there's no prescription of how to meet with Jesus, but he does tell you how to pray. But like, you know, that the oil in our lamps is knowing God, knowing he is good. We talked about that song, with this awesome time with the Holy Spirit here today together. We're like, Jesus is worthy. He is good, right? Like, instead of being offended when he has pain, we remember that he had pain. And we look at the scriptures and we see that he's coming to redeem us. Like he's coming back. Like I said, so the Luke version, right, of this, of the Matthew passage is this. So it says, be on your guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation, with drunkenness and the worries of life. On that day, for that day will come on you suddenly like a trap. The virgins all fell asleep. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the earth. But stay alert at all times, praying that you'll have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So like I encourage us to believe what Jesus said. Right? Jesus said, stay alert. Pray that you'll have the strength to escape all the suffering that's going to take place and stand before the Son of Man, right? The King James Version of this says, pray that you'll be worthy to escape, or that you'll be worthy to stand. The NIV says that you'll be able to. So, like, it's referring here to, like, to have the strength, the ability, like, you can do it, you can make it through all these things that are going to take place. It's like Jesus wouldn't warn us to be have the strength, to be worthy, to be able to go through all that's going to take place, as he explained, if it's not really going to happen, right? If there's not really going to be suffering. He wouldn't warn you to do something that you don't have to do. When these things take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. All right, so this is our hope. So we know that throughout scriptures, especially the New Testament, that suffering is a part of being a Christian. And we know from Jesus' warnings that suffering is going to be increasing and increasing, right? And the love of most will grow cold. But he says, when these things are about to happen, straighten up and lift your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. And we see this throughout the parables. So I encourage you all to take Jesus at his word and for us to pray together, like it said in Luke 21, for us to pray that we have the strength to endure. And that's and then when it's going down, right, the revelation tells us what's going to happen. So we can be witnesses because we know what's going to happen. It's written already, right? And so, like, Revelation tells us what's going to happen, right? So, like, not only can we have the strength to endure, but we can have the strength to be a witness of Jesus and saying, like, this is happening. It was already told to us, right? So we can let others know that what's going on.
Hi. I wasn't planning to say anything, but the last couple of times that Dave spoke, it was about the fear of the Lord. And then when Missy shared, it was also about fear. And so the whole kind of concept here is, what are we afraid of? And so we don't want to have a bad view of God, like we're afraid because he always wants us to come near him. But at least for myself, what God has been talking to me about with the fear of the Lord is I have a fear of man. So I want people to like me. I want to agree with people because I don't want to stir the pot. Like, this is the popular idea right now, so I'll just kind of go with it, or I won't say anything because that's not going to win me friends. But God is saying that's actually not okay. Do you love me more than you love their approval? So we only can get that depth and that confidence to say something if we spend that time with God and we are close to him. And now that I'm a mom, I find that, like, mama bear come welling out. Like, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. And so there's things that I will do for my kids that I wouldn't do for myself. And you just find knowing, here's my two options. If I don't do this for my kid, this is the consequence that will come from it. And so I think that's what God's asking us to check our hearts and look and see with this whole idea of, can we stand in the persecution in the end times as popular opinion changes? And what are we gonna draw from? What is that oil? And the only way that we get it is from having that personal time with God.
Thank you. So we have 5 minutes before I think it's time to eat. So we skipped In My City prayer. So I'd like to have a response from God's word to us to pray together. So whoever wants to pray can pray. And we know that this persecution is coming, right? So I know that Sean has mentioned this before, the Open Doors prayer app, right? Like, we had this story from the Pakistani pastor. And the Pakistani pastor, just in the last few weeks, he and his entire congregation were, he was beaten. He had a person come in, just walked in the door, started yelling at him and telling him, you know, you got to stop preaching. And so then he tried to talk to this guy. Eventually, this guy starts beating him up, took out one of his eyes. And then he calls his friends. It's Pakistan. The police don't show up very fast. And the friends come, there's 20 of them, and they start beating up the kids in the congregation. Like, I can imagine, like, if my kid's being beat up, like, of course I'm going to be, like, want to respond and, like, you know, let's go find some weapons. So, but that's not how they responded, right? So the Lord provided, and eventually there was some kind of meeting with the authorities, but at the meeting of the authorities, he hugged them and he forgave them, even though his eye is gone, can't see, right? And they beat up his kids in his own church on a Sunday, right? But his response is so much different than Hawk Nelson's response, right? So this pastor, like, he provides an example, and the persecuted church provides an example, I think, for us, like, to know Jesus. It's about, like, knowing him, and he is so worthy, and it's so good to know him. Anyway, so I'd like to respond in prayer. If anybody wants to pray for our city, I don't know if you have that For Our City slide, Ron, but, like, you know, like, I think when Sean shared earlier, you know, like, it's not just about us, right? It's about us sharing other people our hope. So, open mic. Lord God, I pray that we would take you seriously. I pray we take your warning seriously. Not think it's not for us. It's not, we'll just be rescued from suffering. It's not for us. I pray we take your warning seriously. We'd seek your face. We'd be like the five wise virgins who know you and love you, like those who took care of the herding and the sheep and the goats, like those who use all their resources to bring your kingdom about, like in the parable of the talents, who weren't offended, believing that you are harsh. We're not offended. We believe that you are good and you reward those who earnestly seek you. Help us to believe that. God, I pray, help us to know your love and give us a love for our neighbors. Please give us a love for our neighbors so not we just think we're safe, we'll be rescued, but God, help us to care about where our neighbors are at. Like Sarah said, like too, are we going to just go along with it, or are we going to speak the truth in love so that they also can be saved from their sins? God, I pray you give us this heart. I pray you change our hearts. God, I confess that many times I just want to be quiet because I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to have people upset with me. But I confess that I hide your righteousness in my heart. But help me to believe and speak your truth about your truth and salvation.